The Dumbfellas Podcast was recorded live at the Brown Bear Pub at 104 Harrison Avenue in West Orange, New Jersey. Our theme song is Root Beer Station, used with permission by the band Dancer. For more information on them, just go to www.dancer.bandcamp.com. For more information on the Dumbfellas, just go to facebook.com/dumbfellas. Ladies and gentlemen, it's me, Natty Bumpercar. That's right, of the Bumper Podcast, your favorite show that you listen to every week, but also of this, the Dumbfellas. The Dumbfellas. And I am hosting tonight's show at the Brown Bear Pub. There's a big comedy show. It's September the 19th, and all the boys are on the show. We got Kevin Garifo, we got McDonald and Carney. KP Burke is here hanging out. Of course, Jackie Byrne is here too. But me, I got to go to work. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hand it over to the two capable hands of your host for this evening. So get ready for a fun ride with the Dumbfellas. What's going on, guys?
Wow, thank you very much, Daddy. Great to be here.
We're doing a live broadcast. With me is Jay Byrne. Jay Byrne,
hey.
Say hello to everybody.
Hey, guys.
Real quick, this one's going to be weird. It is a live show. All right, Natty ran off to go host it.
Bye, Natty. Break a leg, sweet thing.
Jackie, where are we right now?
We are at the Brown Bear Pub in West Orange, New Jersey.
Absolutely. So this one's going to be fun here. Now, what are they doing? Because they do the monthly show here. This is the last show of the summer, so yes. Kind of a big deal on that one. You were on the show, were you not?
Last time, yeah.
Ah, who was on that show, Jackie?
Oh, my sweet KP Burke, who's always brings it, and the incredible Mark Norman was on that show.
So this is not a show for losers, is what we're saying. Okay, this is big name items. Don't let this evening's headliners, McDonald and Carney, fool you. We got them on a discount. Somebody had a thing, but. So it's been a good thing here. I've actually met all of our friends here live at this one. We're sitting in the back table right now. We're going to try something weird. We're going to bring on a guest here in a second who's been a fan of the show for a long time, and he has cancer, so that's why we're bringing him on. But we're excited to have him nonetheless here. As we said, so this is going to be a weird
you
live show.
You should have warned me about
There's
that.
There's a stand-up show going on outside right now, but sitting here at the table with us right now, everybody say hello to John Trumbull. How are you, T-Rumble?
Hi, how you doing?
Oh, Johnny sounds thrilled. Hey, Johnny.
I'm so thrilled to be here on the Let's Say Hurtful Things About John Trumbull podcast.
Oh, I would never.
You would never.
You know that.
You would no, but the other five people on the show, compunction.
John, have you listened to the most recent episodes, though?
Was it the one where you ended it with fuck John Trumbull?
Oh, Jesus.
That one was an interesting one because that was actually a recurring theme, so I'm not sure which episode you're talking about. But a good time here. We got our headliners are McDonald and Carney tonight. Have you ever worked with them before, John?
Yeah, once or twice. Don't care for them. Do not care for them.
Johnny's coming in hot.
He is. I would say
I've got about how many weeks has the podcast been going on? Now,
I don't know. You're the only one who keeps track. John.
Yeah, I know. Well, I honestly came on just because I want to find out all about the history of the electric chair. So
crossover episode.
Yeah.
Well done.
No, that part's been good to go here. But Jay Byrne was on it. You did time this summer out here at the old Brown Bear, didn't you?
No, I don't. Did I? I don't think I did do anything
John.
this summer at the Brown Bear.
John, start taking ginkgo biloba or some shit, man. All right.
Dude, I'm 46. You know, this is the best it's gonna be.
What are you drinking, by the way?
Right now, I'm drinking a Yuengling.
Very nice.
I had a Yuengling to start, and then I had an IPA that Vic, the bartender, recommended.
Oh.
And now, you know, I'm back to my comfort zone of the Yuengling.
So, Johnny, what's new with you these days?
What's new with me? Am I doing plugs? Is that what I'm doing now? Or am I being shuffled off already?
Never. I'm just asking you a genuine question because we go back a long time. So I was just genuinely asking
what you're
doing.
Yeah, but I'm a comedian, so I don't know how to handle genuine emotion and genuine interest in my life.
You're more of a reservist, John. You do it about one weekend a month, twice a year.
That's true. That's a good point.
Oh, my God.
That's a good point. I mean, we can't all be like opening for Ron Bennington and working with Dom Irera this weekend.
It is gonna be fun, man.
Which I bought a ticket for, by the way.
Oh, that's
you
awesome.
Know, so, because, you know.
Friday or Saturday?
Saturday.
Okay, good. Saturday's all stuff.
Saturday
all
the late
show. Yes. That's going to be a good one, too, man.
Well, I figured, you know.
Now, we always compliment Trumbull, too. I think you would agree with me, right, Jackie? One of the, he's got some great jokes.
Sure does.
Jokes.
Thank you.
Nobody can take that part from him here. But,
no.
Quick question for you, though, Jackie. You don't drink before shows.
I don't. Never. Okay.
Jackie Byrne, like we said, does not drink on stage. We had a little technical difficulty here. It has to happen when you're recording live, but you don't drink on stage.
No.
Why is that?
No, because I have an addictive personality. If I have a great show and I drank one drink and it was a good set, then I'll want to drink all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I know T Rumble's got a story about the one time we were all in the same room together when we were all super drunk on stage one time, which was one of the better nights of my life. But question for you: you said you were drunk on stage one time. Where was it?
At the AC show that we did
with
because that bus ride was horrible. I like literally needed to drink.
Is that when like McDonald and Carney were headlining?
Yeah, when was that? April, May?
An abandoned
March?
Italian restaurant.
Yeah, an abandoned Italian restaurant.
Sure.
Yeah. I couldn't even remember. I know I recorded the set, but I remember being on stage and being like, I can't feel my fucking face right now. And like, I can't. I know people are talking. I don't know to what.
Wow.
And that's a lot for me.
See, it's tough. It's tough for me to even imagine you as like being real sloppy on stage.
Well, KPI, you were there. Was I sloppy?
No, I've never seen her not 1,000% professional.
That's right. Sweet. Thanks.
You have a uniform you wear on stage.
Was she hysterical and professional?
I mean, she's solid, man. There's so many words you would use to describe Jack.
Was it hysterical? Was she hysterical and professional enough to like say put it on a business card?
I don't know. I mean, if her manager thought that was the right move.
Right.
I should actually look what we have on there, but whatever. But how many times have you been drunk on stage?
For the first year and a half I did comedy, I was never sober on stage.
That's amazing.
Was that like a courage thing? Like a liquid courage thing?
Well, it started off in a weird way. Somebody told me my initial bad habit was that I would fidget with my hands on stage because I wouldn't know what to do with it.
Sure.
So I put my hand in and out of my pocket a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody goes, oh, why don't you go out there with a beer, which solved my fidgeting problem. But started my lifelong alcoholism.
Because you have one hand holding a microphone, one hand holding a beer, so both hands are taken care of.
Oh, because I used to shake. My knees would tremble like beneath me while I was up on stage. I was never good at it. Like, quick question, because I know I'm not throwing it all the way back to you on this when you're Jay Byrne, but when did you start getting on stage for the first time?
Getting on stage doing stand-up or getting on stage, period?
Period. I feel like
since I'm a kid.
Ah, see. What about T-Rumble?
See, like, Jackie and I, we were actually
in an improv group.
We were in the same improv troupe for about a hot minute.
Yeah.
So
I. What was that? My senior year of college, I think I met you.
You were still in college, I know.
Yeah, I know that.
I'm trying to remember what year that was.
I graduated from Ramapo College.
Oh,
like
Mawa. You're so Jersey.
I'm so Jersey.
So I met you in, what, was it 2009 maybe? Something like that?
No. Sooner. 07
Earlier?
Or 08.
Yeah, so I've known Jackie a while.
I just started dating Jay when I met you, ironically.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you once told me like I'd known you. Jay is her husband, by the way, for anybody who doesn't know.
I just assume everybody knows at this point. I feel like everybody in comedy knows him more than
me. I thought you once told me like I might have known you longer than Jay.
I feel like you're right about it.
The cusp.
Yeah, right on the cusp. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yes, we did improv for a minute together.
And it only lasted for like one show or something?
No, because I got the lead in my senior year show. What
was the show?
I was Rosalind in As You Like It.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was like a super intense Shakespearean piece. And so I had to be fully committed.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Were you a theater major?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Checking in real quickly, our referee, Kevin Garifo.
Oh, hey, baby.
How's the show going out there, buddy?
Natty Bumper Car is absolutely crushing it right now.
Is he?
Of course he is.
Absolutely crushing it.
Oh, my God. Are there chickens in the backyard? Is that what you're telling me? It's a series of chickens.
Natty always has more material when there are, like, stray animals in the neighborhood.
No, but I'm actually very proud. The crowd is great.
That's awesome.
They're packed in there, so.
Now, when are you going to tell them that it's McDonald and Carney, not also Mark Norman?
That's a very good question. I think I put Mark on this flyer, too.
Wow, that's cool.
Garifu, we were just talking about when you got on stage for the first time. Did you do shows before stand-up?
I did improv.
Didn't you do sketch comedy, too?
Yeah, but that was after stand-up.
I feel like when I did the project graduation with in West Orange, or we did a show at the high school, that you said that you did the musicals, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was musical theater.
Yeah.
All right. Now this is getting weird here. Because
sorry,
no,
you were in
way.
A poster, right? What'd you do? Come on.
I did.
What's
West,
the one
with
West, the moon?
West Side Story. I did a
crazy
for you.
For you.
And I did Pirates of Penzance. So.
I have never heard your singing voice, and I desperately
feel like it's
want
good.
To now.
It was good. It's not anymore.
I don't know.
Because you're out of
that.
Practice, or?
Probably.
Well,
I mean,
Kevin was in a boy band.
So I could still.
Oh, that's right.
Were you really in a boy band?
I was like the fifth, like, alternate.
Which one were you? Were you the cute one?
Hold on, John. Hold on.
Were you the dangerous one?
Wait, wait, wait. We got to go in. 1 second. Kevin Grifo. You were in a boy band.
Yeah.
What boy band?
No, it wasn't like a famous boy band. It was like me and four of my buddies from high school.
That makes
together.
It even better.
I know. That does.
We performed.
What was the name of your band?
Elevate.
That's a wonderful boy band name. Yeah. Elevate.
They were, I was like I said, I was like the fifth guy, like if they needed someone to fill in for someone that couldn't do it.
So it was a four-person boy band, and you were the fifth member.
Yeah.
I'm so aroused
you were like
right
the,
now.
You were like the Pete Best of this boy band.
Yes, like, and I got the reference. And I got the reference.
Sutcliffe.
Yeah. See, on this show, what we want to do is we want to flip the script. Normally, the host interviews the guest.
Sure.
But here on this show, we like to flip the script and see how much of the driver's seat John needs.
That's right. I'm,
I feel like he's all
I'm
in.
Staging a podcast coup right now. No, I went into interviewer mode.
But you didn't answer, though. When did you get on stage for the first time? Were you into performing before stand-up
It was
or
the
not?
Jacksonville Comedy Festival, right?
That's very close. Might as well
I
have
feel
been.
Like John interviews and answers at the same time.
Garifo, do me a favor real quick.
All right, shut up, KP. We've heard enough from you.
Send Patterson over. Send Darren over as soon as he's done with his set, and we'll keep this bad boy rolling, man.
Bye,
Kev. We have a weird vibe going tonight, but I like it.
Yeah, it is a weird vibe.
You guys all have improv backgrounds. I know Rich was on stage doing improv first. Mm-hmm. As was Joe, I think. I mean, all of you guys. Natty, too. Natty was doing improv down at the University of Georgia or whatever.
Because he was the gayest man in Athens.
We did cover that. That was his nickname
on a
previous
episode. Yeah, if you haven't
seen
it, you should see the episode before this.
Pretty remarkable. Natty revealed one of his nicknames was the gayest boy in all of Athens. And I don't know if that means Athens, Georgia, where the dog pound is, or we're talking like Socrates.
Or maybe it's Athens, Greece.
That
would be really impressive.
Absolutely. It goes back to ancient times.
Yeah.
Natty's full of surprises.
Though, okay, so answer the question, though. Sorry.
I know, I'm putting it off.
I know you are. I see it.
I had gotten back from Dubai. I lived in Dubai for about 4 or 5 months. And
oh, my God. Big Rich.
You guys say Big
Classy.
Rich doesn't contribute anything to the show. I retort. With that, but no, I got.
I want to go to Dubai. Side note,
it was a good place.
Is it cool?
We know what's weird is that they have the same problems we have, just slightly different. Is that what? Like here, we would have commercials to say, "Parents talk to your kids about drugs."
Yeah,
I'm not making this up. Over there, they have commercials saying, "Kids talk." Parents talk to your kids about the dangers of radical Islam.
You're kidding.
Absolutely serious.
Wow.
There's a thing that pops up. It was this very bizarre commercial that
I could see that. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, it's Arab, like, Middle Eastern music, I should say, playing. And then you just hear, like, but it's almost like a lullaby thing playing. And then a rifle shot bursts out, like a brrrr. And then there's blood on the wall, and you just hear crying. And then it says, talk to your kids about radical Islam.
Whoa.
Wow.
So that's their deal.
I would cry like a bitch after that.
Well, they're very progressive over there by Middle Eastern standards. But what's weird is that, first of all, the lower your license plate is on your car, the more important you are. Because everybody's a millionaire over there.
Right,
so they don't
care.
So if you're the king over there, you have number one. If you're the prince, you have number two on your license plate.
Oh, interesting.
So it is pretty interesting. It's a goofy country over there. I had a good time. If you're white, they think you have money, which is hilarious because I was in a reserve unit, which means that they love blonde hair and blue eyes. You would be a delicacy, Jackie Byrne, right? With your auburn hair.
I love that.
A delicacy.
You know it.
Absolutely.
That's
you
it.
You would fetch a very high price.
So comedy.
You would fetch
work
a
out,
high price.
I'm just going to ship my ass over to Dubai and fetch a high price.
So, yeah, wait. What is the line you use in your act? You're like a Jersey. Where you're ranking yourself.
Oh, I say I'm a Jersey 6.
Okay, a Jersey 6. So I wonder what you would be in Dubai.
Right into Dubai.
Are you picturing like a shady kind of a chic dude? like in the end of Taken, you're on a somebody's on a boat, somebody's like, right? this next one is a Jersey 7.
Right? Especially if my mouth is closed, forget it. I'm even hotter. That's
well, now
great.
I'm also picturing your sweet husband, Jay, kicking the door down with a gun because he has a particular set of skills and he's here to get his lady.
I would
back.
Buy a ticket to that movie.
Yeah,
I
right?
would watch that movie.
Okay, but wait, KB still did not answer this question.
No, it was,
after you got back from Dubai.
Well, because it's I got yelled at a lot because people would always say, Burke, this isn't a comedy club.
Oh,
and so
funny.
Finally, my ex-fiance, to her credit, bought me a 8-week workshop for stand-up comedy.
Oh, cool.
At the Jacksonville Comedy Zone. And I did stand-up for the first time ever on that stage. And I remember as soon as they hit you with the lights, because he specifically leaves the lights on to mess with you. And I literally was quaking under my boots, and the first joke I ever told was... somebody asked me about my first kiss the other day, and I said, okay, so my uncle's holding me down on a couch. and I told it just like that. Terrifying.
Sure.
I thought when I started comedy, I was going to be like Sam Kinison screaming and all that.
Shock.
That's what I like.
Shock jock.
But then I'm so terrified of everybody. That's where this weird slow and steady thing came from.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, it's a. I don't know. I've never truly gotten over that. Somebody told me that when you finally feel, when you don't feel the butterflies anymore, is when you need to stop doing it. You guys think that's true?
I would imagine so, because I feel like butterflies signify that it's important.
Okay, you still get nervous before shows? Because you're working more than anybody.
That's not true, but no, sure, I get nervous. Are you kidding? You don't get nervous?
I still get nervous, absolutely.
Every time they say my name, I literally say to myself, fuck me, and I get up on stage because I'm so, it like hits you. Like, it's mm-hmm. happening and you can't get off the train.
I remember the one time I watched T-Rumble let the room get too big for him and then he lassoed it back in. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, which show is this?
When you were on at Caroline's and you let the moment get to you because Judah Friedlander had just popped in or something.
Right.
Like that.
Right.
And I forget, you knew him or something because you drew
something. Oh,
some
I feel
shit
like I saw that clip too.
I didn't draw something for him. I did a cartoon with the cast of 30 Rock. So I'd drawn Judah Friedlander and I'd met Judah Friedlander at the New York Comic Con a few years ago. And you know, him passing by and I was like, "Hey Judah, I drew you." And
like one of my French girls.
Yeah,
right? Like,
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And, I drew you, sweet thing.
And when I did the show at Caroline's, Judah was a drop in there, and I had no idea he was going to be there, of course. But it was very cool.
That's awesome.
I love him as a comic.
Because we went out. We all went out to support you on that. Because this is back,
you did. Yeah, that was good of you.
Well, it was a big night for you, and
this was in 2015.
Yeah, the room got a little big for you for a second. And then you took the lasso. We watched this come out there, and it was a little bit... Your energy's got to be off. Caroline's one of the legendary clubs,
of course.
I would say,
yeah.
Right? But they go ahead, and the room got a little big for you at first, and then we watched you just lasso it, and we're like, all right, he's got it. And you coasted the rest of the time. It was a good time.
Oh, thanks.
So. You posted that video, though, right? I feel like I remember seeing
it. Yeah, the video is still on YouTube,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Do we have show notes for this podcast? We could put it in the show notes.
No
and then, like,
you're the
three
only one
more
listens.
People.
You're the guest this week, John.
Exactly. And I'm going to be, like, listening to this back in, like, 2 weeks at work.
That's true. Well, that's when Natty gets him out for us.
Which is either going to be really cool or really, really sad.
It's well, I think it's going to be interesting because this one's going to be very weird. We don't know what's happening. Because right now, for all we know, we should probably take an estimated guess. If you don't know this about Brown Bear Pub is an outdoor comedy show.
Right.
And I think we can all agree that's the way comedy should be, right? Out in the open. In a series of picnic tables.
Sure.
With people who didn't pay anything to come see a show.
That's your ideal audience. Yeah.
That's how you get them invested. But what do you guys think is going on out there right now? We heard Natty was killing.
Well, we know Natty is hosting. I don't really know what the show order was.
Yeah, do you know who's on now? Oh, it must be Darren.
Is Darren on now?
He must be. Darren Patterson's fantastic.
I mean, Darren is always solid, so I have no doubts that Darren is doing well.
Absolutely.
I mean, Darren, I love Darren's material.
Same.
I love his delivery. I love his stage persona.
Yeah.
I wish he was a little bit less of a white nationalist. That's the part that bums me out
sure.
about Darren.
Yeah, I get that.
Well, it's like you understand where he's coming from. If you don't know, Darren's got one of my favorite jokes, too, which is how he talks about how he doesn't sound like a black guy.
Right.
And then when people meet him in person, they realize it's like one of my favorite lines I've ever
okay,
heard.
Okay, we're hearing a woo from outside.
Yeah,
so whoever's on
good.
Stage
yeah.
is doing well.
So Darren doesn't have a shirt on. That's what we're finding
yeah,
out.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it turned into a Chippendale show.
It's
can't
this weird magic
anybody.
Mike kind of a new closer he's doing.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Very erotic.
Absolutely. It's ever since he bought the breakaway pants, you know, he's... he just wants to show them off.
Yeah. I was like, what?
He just reaches inside to his inner thighs, just
I love
rips
that
them
you
off,
know, John. I love that you know.
Thank you.
See,
thank
now this is the one time on the podcast where there's a wrestling joke to be made and no one will understand.
I definitely
I know,
won't.
I know.
Sorry.
Kevin Garifo has been waiting for this window for months.
Wait, Natty's back, so we'll see.
Okay.
He looks like he's
so the
parched.
Show is going unhosted at this
yeah,
very
that
moment.
Yeah, that means someone's someone's
It's chaos out there.
This is the only comedy show I've ever been to, by the way, where a random stray cat has shown up and done time on the show before. I have seen a feral cat pop in before.
Come
oh, the
on.
Host is back.
Oh, hey, guys.
Hey, who's Natty
up
Bumper
right
Car.
Mr. Darren Patterson is
oh,
up
okay,
right.
Go.
See, we were talking about how he's
now,
probably
did he
killing.
Did he get the woo or did you get the woo?
I think he got a woo, but I think I demanded the woo.
Oh, okay.
And,
fair
and
enough.
Natty, are we still recording right now?
Yeah, we're still recording a
okay,
podcast.
That's good.
Fantastic.
Because the last time Natty came around, he was like, yeah, you guys haven't been recording for like 3 minutes.
Well, it was gold, I heard. It was
yeah.
lost.
John Trumbull is alpha mailing this podcast.
I really
so
no,
hard right
just
now.
By sitting here I can tell that he is really running ruckshot over you guys.
Absolutely.
It's no, it's a weird one. It's Trumbull thinks his mic is on, which has been a fun gag for us the entire fucking time.
Tacos.
Thank
you very
much. Oh, and now he's getting food too. My god.
Now were you talking about I was at this show once and there was a raccoon that was walking along the back wall of
oh my
the,
god, is that trap?
I was so happy. I was so giddy.
You just attract animals when you perform. You're like Snow White.
Yeah, every so often there's cougars that come through too, huh?
Natty, do you still get nervous on stage?
Sometimes.
Like before a show?
No, I mean, like, it depends. I think if my brain determines that there's stakes involved in the show, like there's something that could come of it, then my brain starts to freak out. But normally I don't get to that.
So like tonight?
No, I'm like, yeah, this was not a career maker here. No, it was a
don't
blast.
Don't say that.
It was a blast. I had a lot of fun. And there's a lot of people back there, and they were fun to play with.
That's great.
But you do this a lot because you host. I found myself, I did a 12-minute set. I was probably 9 minutes in, all crowd work. And then I was like, I'm supposed to tell jokes, too.
It's my life.
But the thing was, like, they were eating it
That's
up.
That's my motherfucking career.
Yeah. But they were eating it up. But you do. I mean, you have that too, where they love you to pieces.
I hope.
And then do you switch gears and go into material, and they're like, "Go back to making fun of us," and you're like, "I wrote that other stuff."
I'm never married to anything, so I don't care.
Except
I don't care.
For Jay, huh?
Yeah. But I yes, my sweet husband. But no, in terms of like a joke, I feel like I'm never like, oh well, they want me just to chat with them. I don't care.
Yeah, you just
doesn't
move
bother
on.
Me.
Yeah.
You know
good.
Who gave Jackie Byrne some great advice? There was a. I won't say the comic's name. I'll just say that it's a female, all right? And she absolutely loved Jackie and went ahead and watched her do comedy. And one of the things that she mentioned, do you remember the advice she gave you I thought was great?
What? To make take the premises
take
of...
Take crowd work and real... Because you're so... It's insane how good at crowd work you
oh,
are.
Oh, thank you.
Well, it bothers me because I can't do it. It's literally seeing
yeah,
somebody...
Yeah, but I say the same thing about your joke writing, though.
I know, but you got, like, killer muscles on that one here. It's one of those beautiful... It's a how do I put this? It's a bicep to a tricep kind of a thing on that one. Now, real quickly,
sweet.
I'm going to throw some. We're going to get a little goofy here for a second if we can. We do have a special guest coming in here real quick.
You got it?
Ladies and gentlemen, if I could just go ahead and welcome right now to the show the owner of the Brown Bear Pub. He has been on the guest. He's been a guest on the show before, had one of the greatest stories we've ever heard. Plop, plop, plop. Give it up for Mr.
Plop,
Greg
plop,
over
plop.
At Brown Bear
Greg.
Pub.
Hi, everybody.
Why did you let us come back?
Greg is having a great hair day today. Can we just talk about that?
Is he not a silver fox, as you would call him?
Absolutely. I mean... I have one at home. I know one when I see one.
You're the perfect amount of salt and pepper, sir. Thank
Absolutely.
You for being on the show, by the way.
Thanks for doing this here. We love you.
Yeah.
We love you guys.
Dude, what else you got going on at Brown Bear right now? They got a lot of stuff coming in. They do karaoke and shit,
we
too?
We do. Every Friday, 10 to 1, we do karaoke, live music most Saturdays. Again on the 29th of September.
Not
that's
bad.
Awesome.
Bluegrass Zydeco Band.
Mm. Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, very cool. 7-8 pieces.
Awesome.
Yeah, upright bass.
Do they play out
the
back?
Nine. Yeah.
So you have talented people perform here, too, not just us assholes.
No, of course. It's all talent. You guys are awesome. You know you
That's
are.
Awesome. Thanks, Greg.
So. No, thank you for it. Does
the 85 people on the back patio, you know, they prove it. So.
Well, thank God it didn't friggin' rain today. That's the one thing we always have to worry about over
and
here.
And how hot was it last month? Remember? I mean, literally, my face was melting off.
Sweltering.
Me. Sweltering wasn't even the word.
And then, could you imagine, though, having to do the longer set on that night, too,
no.
where you're stuck up there for 45 minutes in
no.
the sweltering
and
heat?
He was wearing, like, a long shirt, too, or, like, he was wearing, like, double A. Yeah, I was like, Mark, what the hell are you wearing? It's hot as hell. But he did tell me I had a nice shoulder. You remember that moment?
Well, he is not lying.
I'll treasure right? it forever.
A nice shoulder?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I was wearing a one-shoulder shirt. I was like, what? Nice shoulder.
Oh, that's right. You were wearing, like, right. the one. Yeah, I remember that.
Thank you, John.
Yeah.
Oh man,
sorry,
Greg. Have you ever done
Please
any sort of public speaking? By the way,
possible interpretation on that.
Yeah, I have. A
so
lot.
When you did
oh,
public
not,
speaking, what happened with that? That made you like? How do you feel as a I don't want to call you a civilian in a sense where it's a derogatory thing, but like we all have been up on stage a bunch of times. When you public speak as a person who is not trying to make a living doing that, what goes through your mind before you do it?
Oh, if you're prepared, you can do it.
Okay. I love that.
I've always, I've had to give speeches when I was in my corporate job to thousands of people at national sales meetings, things like that. I was director of operations for a public company.
I never knew you were corporate, Greg.
Oh, I was corporate.
Oh my
God. So, Greg, did you ditch corp? Happy birthday to someone here.
Yeah. Yep.
Did you ditch corporate to open this place up?
No, I ditched corporate back in my early 30s.
Awesome.
And went down to Sarasota and fell into food and beverage.
Good for you.
Fell into food and
okay.
beverage. Yeah, so.
So did you announce you were leaving, or they just said they were going to start drug testing and you bailed?
No. I was the guy that was given the drug test, so it was fine. Yeah,
so. That's awesome. So and then what made you go
failed.
To Florida?
I'd love to say rehab, but it wasn't. I had a buddy down there, and I was given a nice severance package when I left. I was with the company for a long time, and I wasn't meeting anybody. And he said, "Why don't you come get a job behind at the resort? You can do anything, you know." So I did everything and learned. That's where I never waited tables before. I never did anything, and I learned how to bartend. I learned how to wait tables, manage. I ended up becoming a banquet manager and a bunch of different things.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah.
You ever think you were going to own a bar when you were doing it? You did.
Well, by the time I hit 40, I did. Yeah.
Not bad.
What's it like to have life goals?
Oh. When I achieve them, I'll let you know.
Oh, so my God. Don't be modest.
I would say if anyone who has ever been to this place, though, Brown Bear is, if this isn't a life goal for you, this is a life goal for so many people that didn't pull it off.
No, I'm screwing around. This is definitely, this was a life goal. It's nice to, my daughter and this place. Those are the two.
Oh, right? That's so awesome.
Did you have your eye on this place for a long time?
No, this place fell in my lap. I bartended here for a couple of years.
Okay.
And then I was actually the previous owner's auditor at another place in Montclair, and they approached me about leasing the place, and I did my numbers, and I just made them an offer on the entire building and accepted. And there we went.
Wow.
So you own the whole building?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah,
right?
In case the building failed, because the business had gone down a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't like to talk about that kind of stuff.
And how long has this officially been your place?
Since August of last year, so we're in our 13th month.
That's awesome. Wow. Happy 1-year anniversary.
Now,
that's great.
During the negotiations for the place, did they mention to you a very handsome Irish-Italian boy that was going to essentially become a load-bearing structure
Joe
within
Carney
your bar?
Joe Carney is not Italian.
Joe Carney.
Yeah, no, I've known Kevin for a long time. I've known his brother even longer through Fish.
Oh, that's so funny.
So we knew each other through Fish Tour. So
you were on the road together with
Kevin
that
Kevin and I have been good friends since 2014. Yeah.
Not bad, sir.
I've known him for a long time.
That's cool. I respect the Fish thing. I never went to a live show for them. I'm what the Fish fans would hate because I prefer the studio albums over the live stuff, which I've been told is sacrilege.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have 30
definitely
minutes
true
to enjoy a song. I have 4.5 sometimes.
That's
KP
fair
is a busy, busy
that's
man.
True.
He's got
he
people
is
to open for.
He sure
also
does.
True.
That's right. And his career is just buzzing along. So.
And if you're tripping balls, then you can get like 3 or 4 albums in that way instead of just one show, right?
Well, that's also true. We had I don't want to put you in any sort of weird spot here, but I will say I was talking about taking acid the other day.
Yeah.
And I realized what it was finally. I love eating mushrooms, right? So somebody told me, like, oh, if you love mushrooms, you'll love... Anybody here you ever do mushrooms, Jackie?
No.
No, you never did anything, right?
Not on air.
I had a very interesting weed phase in college, but that's it.
I like that. It's
okay, let's put a pin in that for later.
Well, my mushroom story is weird, and I think you would appreciate this as a Fish fan, is that what happened for me was they told me that if you love mushrooms, then you got to do acid, right? But they sold it to me like it was a sequel. And they didn't tell me that if mushrooms was Caddyshack, that acid was going to be Caddyshack too.
Yeah.
And it was a nightmare. I thought you were going to have time to come up on it and everything. You don't. It kicks in right away. And I just sat there sweating. I literally remember standing in front of a fan, just sitting there for 10 hours.
That
just
sounds
sitting
there, awful.
It's weird, but I try to do it every year.
What a masochist, right?
The problem with acid
that is
good acid is really good, bad acid is really bad, right? So in my personal experience, mushrooms are just mushrooms.
Did you ever have, you notice when they'll give you acid, but you have to buy mushrooms? That should tell you everything you need to know about it, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Nobody ever charges you. There's somebody's like, oh, I got free acid from this guy
like
in the parking lot.
You know, when I buy Jameson, they tell me I got to pick up the, you know, the stout and the IPA cask mix, right? Like, they're trying to get rid of it.
That is the battle they have on it.
John Trumbull,
did you
get
into
drugs?
Don't let us hold you up here. If you,
no, I don't care. I
never went through a big drug phase.
Ever.
No.
I'm watching this happen.
Okay.
No, life is good, man. So, dude, thank you for having us here. Well, we're gonna. You have a Facebook presence, though, don't you?
There's a
Brown Bear page.
Brown Bear Pub, man.
Check them out on there. See what the events are going on. I maintain it's the best wings in all of New Jersey.
I agree with that statement.
How about
them fish tacos?
Everyone that works
fish
here
taco.
Is awesome.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Jackie.
No, go for
I just want to say I'm having some of the fish tacos right now. They are spectacular.
Ooh, fresh.
They are wonderful.
We haven't had anything bad here yet. There was a Mitzi pizza that we had one time.
Named after my wife.
Goddamn good.
Your wife's name is Mitzi?
Her name's Mikkel, but her niece calls her Mitzi, so we call the pie the Mitzi.
How cute. Yeah. That's so sweet.
It's good pie, too. Parmesan cream sauce, apples. Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
Like
caramelized
that.
Onions.
You phenomenal. Can tell it's a good pie because when you brought it out one time mid-episode, we actually stopped recording so everybody could eat it.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's so
nice.
Sweet.
Very good.
And I think we can all maintain how hard it is to get Joe Carney to shut the fuck up. So.
I want food named after me. I feel like that's the ultimate prize.
We want the KP Burger to be a thing. The KP Burger.
Did you hear that?
This needs to be a thing that happens.
We'll come up with a hoagie or something.
I'm a hoagie, Craig.
No,
you're a hoagie. The Jackie Burr.
Come on, you have to have a favorite sandwich that we could do something, right?
I just love that of all the food items.
You're a Jersey girl, right? You got to have a favorite sandwich.
I mean, what sandwich don't I love? Let's be honest. But I just love that your first instinct was hoagie. So. Ooh, I'm into that.
Are you?
I love Italian subs.
Okay,
let's do it.
All right.
Now, speaking of Jersey, though, while we're here, to ask a quick question. So this question has been asked on the podcast before. We have three people here who didn't give us answers in the past. I think, Jack, you were with us on the one. So you, if I recall correctly, you are firmly in the Taylor Ham camp, correct?
Oh, 1,000%.
See, I grew up calling it pork roll.
Never.
All right. But,
where'd you grow up?
Well, North Jersey, sir.
No, don't you dare tell me that sweet. I was going to say my sweet husband, but I was saying your sweet father.
What does Jay think of this? What's Jay's opinion?
The recording right now. You're going to tell me that your sweet dad called it a pork roll?
It's always been pork roll for us in the house. Just hate to say that.
Larry Burke, Dilf.
I'm from an 07 zip code, man. It's Taylor Ham.
So you called Taylor Ham over
here. Thank you, Greg, exactly.
Now, John Trumbull's the wild card because he is from, I don't know where the scientific lab you were created in was, John. But what would you call that, as Rich McDonald refers to it, our state fruit?
Okay, well, just to clarify, I didn't move to Jersey until I was like 22.
Where are you originally from?
That's a long story. I was born in Minnesota.
Okay.
And I moved around. I moved around on average once every 5 years.
Got it. Okay.
Before I came to Jersey.
Sure. Say Canadian bacon, I'm going to make Greg hit you.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
He definitely stopped recording. No, we're still recording. All right, we're good.
And I came to Jersey when I was 22, so I've now lived more than half my life in Jersey.
Sure.
So I basically consider myself from Jersey now.
Beautiful.
So, but I don't really have an opinion on the Taylor Ham pork roll thing.
Like, if you were to order it, do you order it?
It's not a thing I eat.
Okay.
So I never really chose one side or the other.
Fair enough.
I like the sound of pork roll better. That's about it.
Oh, my God. John Trumbull spitting in my face.
No, don't worry. Hey, John, real quick, where can anybody find you? We got to bring Darren as our next guest right now. You want to plug anything real quick?
Sure. You can find me. I write for a website called AtomicJunkShop.com. And can I do some plugs?
Go for it, man.
Well, I don't know when this is airing.
It's going to be next Thursday it'll come out.
Okay, then cool. Then October 14th, I'm at Tierney's.
I'm on that show, too, for
exactly,
Alzheimer's.
Exactly. Yeah. And we're doing a benefit for Alzheimer's New Jersey. Great cause. Very close to my heart.
Me, too.
And I'm doing a set on there. And then Mr. Darren Patterson and I are co-hosting on October 28th at Tierney's.
Yay!
In Montclair. So...
It's a perfect
segue. And McDonald and Carney are the headliners.
That's
that
a perfect
night. So,
segue.
Yeah.
Interesting that one, man. Real quick, I want to say, T. Rumble, thank you so much for being here, dude.
Thanks,
appreciate
thank
it.
You for having
Thanks
me.
Thanks for listening to the show, dude.
Thank
Can I
you.
Ask you to sexually harass Darren into coming over here for us real quick?
You never need to ask me to sexually harass Darren Patterson.
Me too, a finger up there for me and bring him on over.
Me too, a finger. Oh,
One step away, two, let the professionals handle this.
Greg, anything you want to plug for us real quick? Maybe they can find you on Brown Bear Pub, right?
Yeah, and we're just going to say that we're probably the best place in West Orange to watch football on Sunday, Monday, and Thursday.
All
50
right.
Cent Wings all season long, all three nights, plus our karaoke 10 to 1 every Friday.
Now we are talking.
With DJ Michael Levitt.
God damn.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Thanks for listening to my voice.
Yeah. And what a
Can't
voice
wait
it is.
Can't when you guys come back to do another 6 months. This is phenomenal.
Thank you.
What a great job you guys do.
Thanks so
Not
much.
Bad. Thank you very much, Greg. Join us now real quick. Jay Byrne, you want to go ahead and give an intro for this next guest?
Oh, my God. This next comic is one of my absolute favorites. And he, like myself, has a very wonderful and supportive and beautiful partner that always is in the audience for us, which is great. But he's also a very talented and skilled comic. One of my favorites, Mr. Darren Patterson is
Holy
here.
Holy hell, that is glowing praise.
That's it. I mean, every word.
I mean, I don't know if I live up to it, but
oh,
thank
you. Oh, you absolutely do.
Oh, geez Louise.
How'd it go out there?
It went okay.
No, come on.
No, it was all right. It was all right. It was okay. It was like, you know, ebbs and flows, highs and lows. It seemed to be okay.
You guys, for anyone who's listening, Darren has KP, tell me if you agree, just a very, like, smooth delivery, likeable persona. Right?
Hey guys, Kevin's up right now. Oh, just want you
what
to
are we
know.
Doing?
Oh, Kevin's
Ooh. Darren
up on the
Patterson,
show?
Fucking kill it.
Well, I was just we were just trying to find out what was going on before you rudely interrupted.
Well, first of all, Darren had an awesome set. Absolutely loved every second of his set. So did the crowd.
Yeah.
And then Natty insulted the guests that were leaving.
Oh, yeah, that was
my
hilarious.
Favorite kind
so
of
what
set.
Happens? People decided to leave?
Three guys dressed in the exact same khakis, exact same plaid shirts, eating the exact same meal.
All with perfect hair.
Yeah, they look
Are
very
they like
silly.
A polyamorous
like a
couple,
in the
you think?
Fucking Matrix.
No, they kind of look like those Murray Hill type of types.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
They didn't Kips laugh Bay. At anything unless you saw them whispering to each other going...
So they left.
They left, yeah.
Yeah
they're
they,
over it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh, all right, yeah.
Funny line.
Can I guess his line? Was it, I ain't scared of you motherfuckers?
That's exactly what it was.
How did you get that?
What was it? What'd you say?
I said,
actually, the most uncomfortable line was
that. Darren Patterson and leaving with him, the Brooks Brothers.
Hey-o!
You're so
That's
cute.
That's not a bad line at all.
Yeah. That's not a bad line. It's a beautiful line. Yeah.
Zingaroo.
I'm coming. And then Natty goes, Darren Patterson, I don't know if you know this, but I'm black from the waist down. And everybody's like, all right. Everybody.
Wait, what?
Goes,
I missed that.
Yeah, he goes, I got really cool sneakers and no money in my pocket.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Darren, I was going to ask you in comedy if you ever have to deal with overt racism outside of the people at this table.
No, it's not overt here.
Well, I apologize because we interrupted sweet Jackie Byrne. You put up with way too much shit, by the way.
I love everybody.
But it's a testosterone field.
It is. It's always a dick swinging thing.
Yeah, that was my moment to shine. Well,
and I really was just sitting here trying to praise Darren.
Yeah, I can't have my
so
what,
between
my
the two of us, the girl and the black guy, we're getting completely ignored.
Oh.
Some bullshit right here, Darren.
This is America.
Yeah.
Don't catch you slipping.
This is Trump's America, baby.
Right, it is.
You and I are both on the chopping block, for
son
sure.
Son of a bee sting.
So it was, you had a good time, though, out there.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, it's kind of hot out there, so it was like, I sweat easy.
Sure.
So it's one of those things where, like, I get all sweaty, and I feel like, do they think I'm nervous? Like, because I'm not.
Sure.
I'm just crazy. I get crazy
sweaty.
It's
an outdoor show. We prefaced that earlier. It's an outdoor show. People don't know that. So we've seen people like drenching in their shirts and everything. So we could tell you had a good set because you came over. You had a nice little, get some good flop, you know, the brow sweat going, everything like that. Apparently you killed it. That's what
I
just heard.
I think I did all right. Look, I keep it humble.
I was going to say,
I'm like Kendrick Lamar.
I
stay humble.
I think you wouldn't be even the type of person that even if you did kill, I don't think you'd come on here and be like, I crushed Jay. That's not who you are.
I'm definitely not one of those bro comics to be like, you know, dressing like a whatever.
You'd rather have everybody else speak for you.
Yeah, like an oncoming like an Ed Hardy t-shirt. Like, bro, totally killed it. I killed it, bro.
I love
like,
that.
I don't do that shit. I'm like, yeah, I did all right. And, you know, if people want to say I killed it, who am I to say no to that?
Well, we were talking about this before. We're curious to know what you think. Do you still get nervous?
I do. I got nervous before I went up. I still had the thing where, like, I'm afraid I'll forget my jokes. I'm afraid I'll forget punchlines and setups.
Really?
I still, at this point, like, I've been doing it for about, like, 7 years, and it still happens. But then once I get on stage, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm fine.
You ever tell a joke backwards on accident?
Yeah, I think I might have done that today. Like, there was one thing where I did a setup. And then halfway through it, I was like, oh, wait, no, that's for that joke. And then like, I kind of had to go double back and then like kind of retell it. But I don't think anybody noticed it.
But they didn't figure you out, right?
I don't think. If they did, no one said anything. No one was like, hey, you liar. You told that joke wrong.
Do you have a certain kind of prep before, like the day of a show, that gets you, because you're saying that you're nervous about forgetting your lines? Do you do something in anticipation of that?
Normally I write down my set on a post-it note, and I always like put it in my back pocket somehow.
Okay. Like bullets, right?
Yeah. Like I'll write down. I mean, I won't write down the whole joke, but I'll write down like one word that reminds me of the joke, and then like I'll just put it in my back pocket, and somehow that kind of helps me, because like I found, like if I write down those bullet points and I leave it up there, on the stool, which a lot of people do,
right,
like I'll just have a tendency to look at it, and I don't want to do that. So like if I put it in my back pocket, somehow I'm still able to remember it.
Yeah.
Do you think, it's kind of been alluded to on other shows and stuff like that, but when we talk about how people have their notes for being prepared, if how horrified, in our minds it makes sense, but how terrifying it must be for a third person to come read the show notes that you have like in your head. Because there's some FBI profiler level shit going on in my set, because I'll sit there, it'll just be like a list of the most fucked up things. It looks like I don't even know how to put it exactly. I would say it probably looks like Jim Jones' shopping list.
Oh, Lord.
You know? But it's very...
Oh, my God.
Well, the rapper?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, we're making a crunk music punch. Oh, that's good.
you're getting sipping that scissor.
You know me, Darren. I'm always throwing out my hip hop references.
True.
My hood pop reference.
I know. You're KP like a walking. You're like
hashtag hood pop.
You're like a walking source magazine there.
Pretty much, man.
Hey-o.
Oh, I love you for that.
Boom,
that,
pow.
That was a gift, baby. That was a gift.
Yeah, I'm from the streets. I know what's up. Yeah. I know.
Could he have said that any whiter, too? He was like, I'm from the streets.
I know what's up. Yeah, it's weird. I have this thing where, like, I mean, I do, like,
you're
listen
so
to...
so cute.
I listen to, like, tons of hip-hop, but, like...
Michaela, you get it free.
What's happening? I think Joe is, like, he's like Bobby Browning, and he has, like, a... cordless, like,
Bobby Browning, it is perfect.
Yeah,
holy
that
shit.
Is it. He can't help himself. He cannot help himself.
This is where...
Oh, my God, I'm sorry.
This is where Joe does this thing where it's perfect visual jokes on an audio medium.
He'll get it. He'll understand.
What were you saying, though? I'm sorry.
I don't even remember.
Well, it doesn't matter, because Joe just walked away Charlie Browning it, which is upsetting. But you did say Bobby Brown. We saw Charlie Brown. Now, Bobby Brown, that's perfect, because if you don't know, Rich and Joe, when they do their improv thing on stage together, which is essentially just, you know, like eight different setups for them to be groping each other on stage.
That's basically...
That's so shady.
That's how I learned what improv was. Like, the first time I saw improv and the scene didn't end in two guys making out, I was like, excuse me, sir. I've seen McDonald and Carney. I've seen McDonald and Carney seven or eight times, and I am...
This ends on man-on-man action.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not...
Dude, the amount of times that I've done shows with them, there is always a little, like, cupping of the male breast.
Yeah.
But they do wear, as Darren was saying, a Bobby Brown headset while they're up there on stage.
1,000%.
Because they, I don't know, I guess you have to do that for improv, right? You guys, like, you have a little bit more experience with that stuff. If they ever mic'd you up for acting and everything, you wear, like, the lapel mic?
Yeah, sure, a lapel mic. I always say to them, they always give it to me, and it's they give me the Bobby Brown mic, and it always fucks up my hair.
Well,
and
you're
like, can I just have the regular mic?
Not for nothing. You're on the show here in a minute, aren't you?
I know. I think. Aren't I on? Am I on in a second?
You're on.
You'll tell me when. Maybe I'll wear. They won't tell me what I'm doing. Well, I guess it's true improv.
It is true improv. Though they're going to do a series of games. Darren, do you ever do improv before?
I tried it a little bit. Like, I mean, I can't. That's the thing about improv. Like, the classes are crazy expensive, so
for
I couldn't
sure.
afford it. But I did try it for a little bit at There's like an improv class in Bloomfield, and like I tried doing it there. I had this thing where like I tried it, and it was just like I can't like suspend disbelief a little bit. Like, you know, you know what I'm saying? Like, when it's like, oh, pretend this is a dog, and pretend you're, you know, that's a loaf of bread. I'm like, the guy's like, that's not bread. That's don't. Why are we lying? Come on.
You ignore the number one rule of improv.
Exactly. I can't go with it. Cause like I just feel too dumb. Just be like, no, this isn't.
That's so funny.
Like that's a bottle. That's not a car. Come on, stop it. Let's stop lying to these people. They need the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
In these days and times.
We're in
Trump America.
You have too much integrity for improv. That's fabulous.
My name's Dan Paris, and I'm running for comptroller. I'm sorry.
Can you run for comptroller? I don't know.
I said it, so I must be able to.
Understand that you have my vote already.
Yeah,
it's important
absolutely.
To me that you know that.
I'm here to recruit you.
That's
but yeah, I just
amazing.
I mean, I just can't, like, suspend disbelief. Like, I mean, I've seen improv done well, and it's amazing when you could do it, but I'm just like, I would just feel too dumb doing it. I don't know. It's like,
well, I don't trust the audience. I think that's I don't know if this makes sense to you guys, but I don't trust the audience, and I've seen, when I saw the long form guys, one of the teams over at
UCB,
they were doing the Herald, and what they were saying was, they said, we just need one word to get started from the audience. And I don't, like, every show I've ever done, there's always been everyone's an asshole.
Yeah, somebody yells out cock.
Yeah, somebody goes,
right. Fart.
And now these guys who have paid big money to learn a craft now have to the lowest common denominator.
Do fart
jokes. I mean, did you ever do long form, Jack?
I did. I didn't love it as much.
See, I feel like you'd be good with that.
Can I be honest with you? I feel like now, maybe, but I feel like at the time, I preferred short form when I did it.
Okay.
Don't ask why.
I have a theory on comedy with it. I don't know if anybody else will subscribe to this, but my theory is because you guys all did improv at one point or another. Did you do drama in high school, Jack?
Yeah.
Okay. Did anybody else do drama and stuff like that in high school? See, my theory is that stand-up is woodshop. That's where I hung out.
Okay.
And then improv is drama club. And that's why the two of them can't get along, because you're just hearing, like, some really heinous shit on each side of the classroom. But the woodshop guys call all the drama kids pussies, but we all wish we could be accepted and loved like everyone is in the drama class.
That's so funny.
Well, yeah. I could see that. I'm like one of those guys who kind of floats, not float, I guess you could say floats, like, in between both. Like, I like, at least I like woodshop class, but at the same time, I appreciate, like, drama class and stuff like that.
Well, you're a smart guy, too. The stuff you talk about on stage, it's not dumb.
No, I mean, I'm not that smart. I'm C student. I think I'm all right. I'm just one of those guys who, like, I don't know. I think you guys do it a little bit better because, like, you're able to sort of think more off the cuff and more off the fly. Like, I kind of need stuff written down. Like, I can improv, like, on stage and think of, like, stuff off the fly a little bit here and there, but I kind of need, like, a written formula. Like,
there's nothing wrong with that, though.
Yeah, I'm cool with it.
Exactly.
My voice went all high, so you know I'm very cool. No, it's cool. I'm fine. It's fine. I'm fine with it.
Well, the running thing here is that I'm jealous of Jackie Byrne's ability to do crowd work because I can't do it.
I got to learn how to do crowd work better, too. You're awesome at it.
Thank you. That's very nice.
My crowd work
it.
Is essentially telling people to shut the fuck up.
I hate to admit that.
Hey, guys. I'm back.
Oh,
hey.
The host with the most, the Colin host. Jost, a.k.a. Natty Bumper Car, in the building.
Those Emmys, huh?
Oh, you go vault.
I don't even watch the Emmys, but I watched the room. My wife had them on, and she was like, oh, I'll turn it off. And I was like, no, I feel like I need to watch this. This is so bad.
It was so uncomfortably
just, it felt like it was, they didn't do a run through before. Like they had just written material and gone out and done it right then. Or maybe not even written material.
Who knows?
Now, there were some, I mean, like, some of the jokes they had, like some of the stuff like Michael Che jokes had, but like as far as, yeah, like a lot of the skips in between,
yeah,
I was like,
it was uncomfortable.
I don't know, like the whole Maya Rudolph, Fred Armisen thing, I was like,
it was so bad.
Why is this here? This is weird. It felt weird. It is weird, and it's just bizarre.
Now, for people who don't know this, Darren, you and John Trumbull, who was on earlier.
Yeah, big Johnny T.
During SNL season, you guys actually will kind of live stream, live type, live blog, live, what is
live
it?
Live blog. We live Facebook. It's something that we kind of like fell into, because it's the thing about me and John, Johnny Trumbull's. Johnny, I'm trying to get him a nickname. Like,
it's T. Rumble.
Now, Darren, not for nothing. You just said you need a nickname. A comic just got off stage who gave him the preeminent nickname.
Go for
in
it.
All of T. What do you got, buddy?
This is Kevin again. Back,
hey, Kevin.
Right after
Kevin
the show.
Kevin just agreed for
you. You know that his nickname is and will forever be Johnny T. Rumble.
Oh, Johnny T. Rumble. Oh shit! Why didn't I think
because
of
that? Because we had this vision in our head that. At one point, he was like either a leader of a band called Johnny T and the Rumblers.
I love that.
Or he was just like, so John T. Rumble is like my go-to nickname.
That's why you're the king of all bar shows.
The best way to bring him on stage is, ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready, T. Rumble!
And it's just different enough so you don't have to pay the guy the
like. I called him once. I called him Donald T. Rumsfeld once.
Oh, jeez.
I make all these.
Well, yeah, it was Big Trumbull in Little China was one of them.
Big Trumbull in Little China.
It's always been good.
T. Rumbull in the Bronx.
Speak
of the devil.
Yep, he's back.
So real quick, just logistics. Are you recording this throughout the entire show? Is this going to be the longest
episode ever?
What's
our time frame right now?
It's about 2 hours in.
Time is a construct.
We're 2 hours in.
I don't know.
Still going to be recording this podcast when
no
it
one brought
airing.
You back on the show, John. Know that.
Just keep going. I gotta go do my job.
We'll find out if McDonald and Carney are suffering from sound problems right now. We're not sure on that.
No, it's the crowd is suffering.
Oh, that's sound problems.
I can hear them.
Dang.
Richie and Joe were finagling with the sound while I was on, and I got two or three big while I was on the stage.
Oh boy. Well, other than that, how'd you feel like it went for you?
Hit and miss. Yeah. Some was hit, some was miss. I mean, it's standard issue, I guess, in comedy. Right.
Did you do my favorite joke I've ever written for you?
No, yeah. I didn't even set it up at all. I didn't do it.
I wrote a Kevin Garifo-esque joke in his voice, and it was picture Kevin delivering this, right?
Should I set it up with the actual joke?
No, because I'm going to do the one I just gave you today that you're never going to use. If Taylor Swift was a comedian on Facebook, she'd be looking for likes in all the wrong places.
Oh, boy.
But I don't get... if you're not a Taylor Swift fan, you'll never...
I'm not.
No one. You guys are all going to pretend like Taylor Swift's not the voice of our generation.
No, I agree with you, but I just don't know that song.
About that, but it's just a joke.
What's the joke?
It's a long whole thing, but it just basically ends like with me at a Taylor Swift concert, but like I don't listen to Taylor Swift at all. I listen to music and stuff.
Well, I think the joke is that you're big. You could play offensive lineman for the Giants right now.
What?
Yes. Well, you're a big dude, and you'd be an upgrade because the Giants O-line is pathetic right now.
Yeah, okay. Sports.
This is the thing. Like, I know, like, I am kind of a biggish dude, but, like, I don't know anything about sports. It's the weirdest thing. Like, because, like, I grew up this kind of this big dude. And, like, I have, like, a lot of sports in my family. Like, my dad loves football, and he's a Jets fan and everything. And
yes.
I have a cousin who works for the Patriots. I think he's, like, a coach for them or something. There's football in my family, but I don't follow sports at all. I could talk about music. I could talk about comedy. I could talk about TV and movies. Anything else, I don't know.
Talk about how to pick out a sharp pair of reading glasses, Darren. All right? Oh. Those look pretty damn good up there.
Ooh, well. Good sir, you make me blush.
Now, if your dad was into football, I got to ask you: you got siblings?
I have a younger sister. Yeah,
younger. So you're the oldest, then.
I'm the oldest.
Okay.
I'm the man of the house.
We have a weird, bizarre thing with my family. My uncle Bobby is actually still coaching football. He's 83 or 84, I think.
Whoa.
So he had an undefeated. He led. It was the New Hampshire State Champions.
Oh, okay.
Was his team that he was coaching. But it's weird because he actually comes from the Parcells coaching tree.
Oh, nice.
So Bill Parcells, when he was a high school coach in Rivervale, I want to say.
Bill Parcells is a coach.
Yeah. Bill Parcells, the greatest NFL head coach of all time.
Okay. He plays football, first and foremost, a Jersey boy.
Yeah, you're speaking a different I feel like you're speaking a different language to the people at this table right now.
This is a fun one
to
break
down. Are you
not
into sports either?
No, I am.
Oh.
But he just admitted that he doesn't watch football, and you're just... naming off names that you're assuming that he knows.
Oh, Kevin. Have you ever been to the end of a story and you see how it all comes together?
Have you ever been to the beginning of the story and then you change the channel because you don't fucking get it?
Oh, mommy and daddy are fighting.
It's not a mommy and daddy thing. At this point, I have to bring up, because Kevin's got a good point here. We're also filling time. This is garbage time on the podcast.
Is this even going to make the podcast?
No. We got
this is
our
just ruining daddy's hard drive.
Yeah.
This is like going to be on the cutting room floor?
No, it'll...
this bonus
you guys will
content?
Be on.
This for the Patreon? What is this?
This is going to be our longest episode ever. Because we started this episode. We started recording. We are on essentially... we're on essentially about 50 minutes at this point.
Oh, wow. It's like a marathon. So
it is nice. Good. We're going to give John plenty of stuff to listen to two Thursdays from now on his show. But, nice. No, Jackie had to get up because they bring Jackie in whenever McDonald and Carney need like a third person or whatever. John, you've done that job, haven't you?
Oh, am I back on now?
That's hey,
all you got to do is just show a little respect, John. That's all.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if I agree to those terms, but okay. I'm sorry. What was the question? Could you repeat that?
When they bring Jackie Berman, right?
Yeah.
They brought you in for that same role before, haven't they? You're the third person?
They have, but they got disenchanted with me, and they decided that Jackie was a better way to go. And I don't blame them for
they
that.
Kicked you
I was
going to
say.
Yeah.
Is there name the metric that you would get picked over Jackie for?
There, it does not exist.
Like maybe if they needed to reach
Jackie
something
over me in most every possible instance.
The world loves Jackie.
Yeah.
And Jackie loves the world.
Jackie Byrne has the world as her oyster.
That's right.
Well, I maintain the reason that the whole Dumbfellas crew works is because it's all people suffering from intense Irish Catholic self-loathing. That's what our thing is.
All right.
Like, are you all Irish Catholic?
I think.
Essentially.
Essentially.
Yeah.
but not like, literally.
Well, yeah. Kevin is Irish Italian. Rich is Irish Italian. Joe's Irish Italian. Jackie's Irish Italian. Uh-huh. I'm the only actual Irishman on this one. But where
sure.
the curve Natty? Comes in. Natty's a cartoon character. I'm sure you
gotcha.
Guys have picked up on this.
He is animated. He's a rock.
Now, Darren, you're also Irish Italian, are
yeah.
you not?
Aye.
Yeah.
Another one of those
I'm black
great,
Irish.
Another one of those great visual jokes for the audio medium.
That's oh, yeah, sure. I'm black, everybody. I don't know if anybody can tell by my voice. But I'm a brother. as the kids say.
Number one soul brother, Darren Patterson.
Right on.
But what makes the two of you click? Because you guys seem to be good buddies.
Yeah, I think we... When did we meet? Like, we met a while ago. I don't even remember.
You know, I'm honestly not sure if I remember when we first met.
You don't even remember, you son of a bitch.
It was, well, I mean, you know, sometimes...
It was probably at a show.
I'm sure it was at a show.
Right.
It's been, what, like 2-3 years at least?
I think so, yeah. And so, yeah, something like that. We've known each other for 2-3 years, and I think we bonded more over our love of SNL, Saturday Night Live for the layman.
Now, if I understand this correctly, because what I think when I the two of you guys, you're going to be hosting a show at Tierney's together, is that right?
Yes,
we
October
are.
28th.
Okay. October 28th. Now, so, Sunday, October 28th.
Tell me if I'm right on this one. So Darren's bringing the energy on that one. All right, Darren's going to bring the energy, the
yes.
likability.
Right.
And John is a power bottom. Is that correct?
Wow. Is that the term?
Is that
the showbiz term?
That is cruel, but not inaccurate.
We are going to pull free stuff out of some very weird places.
Oh, wow.
By the way, Garifo just gave us an update on this one. I thought you guys would get a kick out of this. So the podcast is still going fine. We're still recording. Everything's good to go on this end.
Mm-hmm.
The wireless mics that Rich and Joe have spent a small fortune on.
Not working.
Currently not working.
Which is very
that
weird.
That is spectacular.
Because they worked during soundcheck fine, and now they're not. And I guess we couldn't. Or Natty. I'm not blaming Natty. I'm not blaming Rich or Joe.
Sure. You're blaming Natty and you're blaming Rich and Joe.
No, I'm not.
Yeah,
but
we
it's
get
like,
it.
Why, they couldn't.
I mean, do you need microphones for comedy? Is
no.
that?
No.
Not really, but like, it is. I was standing up top and it was a little hard to hear him.
Oh, boy.
Well, how many people are in there in total right now? Because we know D-Pats just had the hot set of the night. We know you just came off stage. You said you had a good time.
I'd say like 60?
60% of. Your show, your set went well?
No, 60 people out there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I was asking. Yeah. How many people are in there? Man, you guys are fucking shitting on Kevin for no reason right now.
Like,
we've been drinking.
It might be more than 60.
All right. So it's full house.
I'd say 60.
What was the numbers for Norman? Because you guys have had a packed out fucking summer here at Brown Bear.
That was a spectacular show.
I would venture to say that possibly could have been in the 85 to something.
Ooh, nice.
Because we had Greg on earlier. Greg came in as a guest, and he was talking about ulcers because Greg is in his 13th month right now at Brown Bear. We want this place to stay open because, A, none of us have anywhere else to do any of this
That's
stuff.
That's a very good
very
point.
True.
This is our white trash creek in the cave if you're comedy fans back home, all right?
Got
Greg
it.
Is super supportive of us on everything. There's hot chicks that come in here sometimes.
Ooh.
All right?
I like that.
Now, Kev,
sometimes.
You came with the
sometimes.
Building, apparently.
Yeah, I was included in the lease when Greg took
you were grandfathered in
when Greg took this place over like Egan's, which is what it was known before,
right.
was like you have to take him or else he dies.
He comes with.
Yeah,
him.
He comes. Yeah.
Well, I remember I called at Egan's a couple of times when the name change to Brown Bear had officially happened, and you kept correcting me aggressively, and I have now completely come over to you. I agree now. Brown Bear's the better name.
It's a good name. I like it.
Well,
I mean,
it's catchy.
Well, Egan's is like a force because Egan's has been a staple in Montclair for many, many years.
How long was it Egan's? Do you know?
A while.
6 years.
Well, the thing was, you could go.
Maybe,
my buddy
maybe longer.
Time, met a chick at Egan's. He said they agreed on Tinder that they were going to meet at Egan's, and he went to Montclair and she went to West Orange.
Yes, which is why they actually changed the name initially under the same ownership. They changed it to Tom's Saloon. Because we were doing shows under the Tom Saloon banner for a little bit here as well.
Holy shit, I remember
that. I didn't know that. So, you know a lot about this.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, I have no life.
Oh, no, okay. Kevin is the mayor of West Orange.
He is the mayor of West Orange.
I thought he was the prince of West Orange.
I'm both.
He really could be both.
The mayor and the prince.
I wear two hats.
He abdicated the throne, and we've gone to a democratic version of leadership here in West Orange.
Can you appoint anyone? Because, like, I have my eye on being, like, the Archduke of West Orange.
No. Can you knight someone?
Nope.
No?
I can knight someone, yes.
Ooh. Okay.
With a butter knife.
Let's. All right. I'm down. Yeah.
Well, no, not for nothing though. If you were to assemble, all right. So let's play a Game of Thrones thing here for a second.
Sure. I have no idea what Game of Thrones entails.
If Kevin Garifo, King of West Orange, you have to name your Hand of the King. All right, your number two guy. Who are you going to for advice? I think we all know who it is.
Yeah, it's got to be Big Rich.
So Big Rich from Jersey would be Hand of the King.
It's fair.
Which I want to apologize to someone at this table. You would be beheaded almost immediately, Trumbull. All right.
This is awkward.
He would be pinning it on before he's done giving the order.
He's like would Rich decree that?
I think it would just be like, let's try to get on Rich's good side and just get out in front of this one.
Wow. Okay.
Let's be honest. Like, Rich is really the guy. Like, Rich is the real. He just doesn't want to be known as it. I have no problem.
So you're
being
essentially doing I forget what the other kid's name was, but essentially Rich would be Tyrion. That he's running everything in reality, and it's just kind
of a don't watch Game of Thrones.
I don't watch it either. I didn't want to say anything. I have
also not seen it. So,
guys, am I the only well-adjusted one at this table?
Yes.
Telling me.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Is that how low the bar has fallen that you're considered the well-adjusted person?
Yeah, I've never had I've never had any sort of a grounding sense in that. It's very confusing for me right now. So, what I'll do is I'll back that statement up, and we'll go into this one. This is the question I wanted to ask you guys earlier. I'll give you two guys a second to think about it. You have an improv background. Kevin's been thinking about this for probably 32 of his 35 years.
Are you going to say what I thought you were going to say?
What are you going to ask?
My show idea?
No, your show.
You got a show idea?
Kevin's show idea is pretty damn good. But Kevin, if you were going
to... I just don't know how to get it started.
If you were going to own a bar, Kevin, what would the name of Kevin Garifo's bar be?
Ooh. I like this.
Oxman's.
Oxman.
That's what? Where surprising.
We talked about nicknames before. That was my nickname in college. Oxman.
Why was that your nickname in college? Right.
Because I'm so opposite of what you would typically guess someone nicknamed Ox would look like.
Oh.
So it was ironic?
Yeah.
Like a tall guy named Shorty?
So like some girl from Long Island, like it was like the first week in college. My buddy, we're introducing everyone to somebody to each other. And one guy says, she goes, where are you from? He's like, Long Island. And she's like, oh, do you know Ox? Like, Long Island is such a small community that everyone from Long Island automatically knows who you know. Right. And then I just stepped in. I'm like, yeah, I'm fucking Ox. Like,
wow. Like, it's an alpha male move.
It pissed me off. I was like,
fucking Ox.
And so from then on, it was like, whoa, that was like Oxman. So it was Oxman, and then it was Ox throughout college.
For all 4 years?
All 4 years, and all my friends from Towson University still call me Ox.
Did that carry over at all?
Not back in West Orange, because I moved back to West Orange after Baltimore.
Okay.
And everyone from college still calls me Ox.
Nice. Well, we got to bring
Ox
that back.
Ox is a
back.
Good one. Now, on the earlier episode that we did, because these are separated by a week, we were talking about nicknames. Darren Patterson, did you have any nicknames growing up?
I do. Well, I mean, I didn't have anything growing up, but when I went to Queens College. And I wrote for the college newspaper. Like, I wanted to write for the entertainment section. Cause, you know, write movie reviews and music and stuff. So, like, me and my two buddies,
was
Dave
it Clark?
And Damien. What?
Was it Clark?
It was not Clark. Me and my two buddies, we wanted to write. And we thought it'd be kind of cool to have, writing nicknames to write underneath. And, like, I was really obsessed with the name Chachi for some reason. Like,
Chachi, it's a good name.
Yeah, it's just a fun name. And like I also thought that the last name Love was a cool last name for anybody.
I feel like you and every porn star agree that Love needs
Chachi Love.
Yes, I went by the name Chachi Love, and then for like most of college, people called me Hey Chachi or Hey Chach. And, like, Chachi Love was my nickname for like,
that
a
Chachi
while.
Chachi Love does
it sounds
sound
great.
Kind of like a porn name.
But it's just a cool-sounding name in general. So, yeah, for a while.
Sure.
Like, once in a while, like, when I'll see maybe one of my old college friends, and they'll be like, hey, Chachi. Like, they'll remember. So, yeah, Chachi Love. That's my old.
Hey, Natty Bumper Car's back in the building.
Please. I apologize to interrupt this edition of the Virgin Dumbfellas, but...
oh, I see what you did there.
But I think my computer's about to break because we've been recording for, I'm going to guess, almost an hour.
Okay.
So
is that long?
Yeah, we only record for like 30 minutes.
So should we?
We should probably go out and support McDonald and Carney as they're struggling in what I can only assume is an uphill battle.
Oh, they do not have microphones at this point. It is sound free.
Oh boy.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So not
best way to enjoy their comedy.
So basically, you're saying you're not going to ask me about my nickname at all.
Well, I mean,
you cut them off right.
No, it's
Okay. Oh, we don't have any more time. I'm so sorry.
If you're following us on social media, guess John Trumbull's nickname. Ooh, and no, it does not rhyme with agate.
Or give him a nickname.
I don't know if you want to do that.
Oh, yeah. No. Let's not open that can
of
worms.
Followers of the Dumb Fellas, we will reach out to you, and we will see what we end up with. Are we going to do credits for this? Or there were so many people in the episode, I think it's probably a little bit difficult.
Are we doing that
I'll try to do a wrap-up real quick for us. I want to say thank you to John Trumbull for being here. I want to say thank you to Darren Patterson for being here. The lovely and talented Jackie Byrne for giving up a night of her. She could be at home with her husband right now in the Regal Estate in Bergen County.
She ran out of that house. She ran out of that house like it was on fire.
Oh, more than likely. I want to say thanks to the Bump. McDonald and Carney, I want to say you guys had a great run. Don't let it end just because of this. Yeah. Kevin Garifo, as always. Now, Bump, when's this one going to come out? Because today is what? The
19th. 26th. October 3rd?
So this one's going to come out October
4th.
Which means if you're hearing this, guys, there's still a chance. I'm open for Ronnie B. over at the Newtown Theater in Newtown, Pennsylvania. Please come out and hang out for that one. That's going to be really cool.
Wait,
and then,
when is that?
It's going to be October 6th. Thank you very much for reminding
God,
me.
God, I hate you.
Go
I'm
see
in
KP.
Chicago
He's really,
day.
Really funny.
That's why you didn't get the gig, Natty.
Ouch.
And then I just confirmed I'm going to be hosting for Hot Little Mark Normand the 11th, 12th, and 13th.
Oh, look at that.
Uncle Vinny's Comedy. My friend Mark Normand.
Well, where's that at?
Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club down in Point Pleasant.
Making deals while you're hosting the show. That is multitasking.
He is a good guy.
I like how you broke that news while Garifo wasn't here so he wouldn't crush his poor little heart.
Well, Kevin doesn't listen to the show, so it's okay.
That's true.
That being said, check us out on everything. Two of our biggest supporters from day one were on the show today. So, again, thank you to John and Darren Patterson. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bumper
Car,
thanks for this weird experiment that's never going to see the light of day, but I still love you.
This is going straight in the garbage. Don't forget to go listen to KP's other podcast, which is, of course, American Loser. Don't forget to listen to Kevin Joseph Garifo's other podcast, which is the Shining Wizards podcast. Don't forget to listen to Darren Patterson's podcast, which is the Virgin Chronicles. Don't forget to listen to my podcast, the Bumper Podcast. You have so much homework to do. And John Trumbull, where can they find you? What do you want to do?
Very soon they can listen to Darren and myself on the SNL Nerds podcast.
Yes.
That's a thing that's going to happen.
Podcast all about Saturday Night Live.
Oh,
that's right.
Wonderful.
We're going to talk about the show every single week.
Oh, uh-huh. I brought up when I, yeah, we Darren and I were talking about how you live blog it. So that's going to be cool. And when that happens, just let us know and we will let every two people who listen to this podcast know about it. All right. This has been the Dumb Fellas.
Wait a minute.
Wait. Shit.
The Dumbfellas Podcast is a production of Garden State Comedy. Find us on Twitter at DumbfellasPod or on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Dumbfellas. The Dumbfellas are Big Rich from Jersey at MCD_Carney, KP Burke at KP Burke Sucks, Natty Bumpercar at Natty Bumpercar, Kevin Joseph Garifo at Kevin Garifo, and Joe Carney at Dumb Kid Joe. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to like, rate, subscribe, and share.